What I want to talk with you about today is nothing new. You've heard it all before. And in fact, it has come to be considered by many kind of a worn out, not just a worn out topic, but a worn out concept that is impertinent today. So I want to bring it back to your attention again, perhaps in a little bit new way, because it's so important, and it was a little bit discussed in Sabbath school this morning, but that is hiding God's word in our hearts. My mom used to brag on me on something I have no memory of, and that I'm sure is not that highly unusual, but to her it was. She was the Sabbath school leader, and somehow, when I was barely two, she got me up front to repeat all the 13th Sabbath, on 13th Sabbath, all the memory verses. And she was thrilled with that. I don't have any memory of it, but what I do know is that they are in here. Because what's recorded as a youth, as a child, is there. And of course, the more I've heard them throughout my life, the more they are reviewed and the stronger they are there. When most of us were growing up, we learned lots of memory verses. We learned memory verses every Sabbath, for each Sabbath, our memory verse with the Sabbath school lesson. We learned memory verses in school. You may remember that we used to memorize the verses with our morning watch texts and repeat them in the youth meetings each week. We had memory verses all around. We had memory verses in grade school and in high school and in college. We did a lot of memory work. And more, it became the concept that we needed to think rather than memorize. Both are true. We need to memorize and we need to think. The more we have in our memory, the better we can think, can't we? Especially when it comes to things of God. And as was brought out in the lesson today, Paul, while he was blind, brought forward things that were put there, the words that he had hid in his heart from God, and used them as he reasoned through. But how important is that to memorize the Bible? Let's take a minute and look through just the Gospel of Matthew, for starters, and see how Jesus related to that. Let's start in Matthew 12, and I'll be using the King James Version today, not because that's what I study from, but because it's what I memorize from. It's what I grew up memorizing from, and I memorize much easier, become confused much less when I work with that version. So today we're using that. Verse 3, Jesus speaking here, he said unto them, "Have you not read what David did?" And then verse 5, "Or have you not read in the law?" Chapter 19. Verse 4. "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And chapter 21, verse 16. Jesus knew what was in there. He said unto them, Hearest thou not what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And verse 42, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I must have written down. I changed chapters on myself. Jesus said unto them, Did you never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? And then chapter 22, verse 31, But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken to you by God, saying, and so on. Christ could bring up these things, not just the concepts, not just the doctrines, but he could quote the verses. That was a lot of the way that the Hebrew children were raised. You know that even today, Jewish children, especially boys, but Jewish children go to school after school and do a lot of memory work. They study the Bible and they learn to reason it, to argue it back and forth. And they have to know it to be able to argue it. And then what about what Christ did in his ministry? I remember being surprised at an idea that I don't know that I'm absolutely right on, but it has come to me repeatedly throughout my life as I found different verses while I'm looking at Christ's life. And that is, how did he know what he had the power to do? Granted, he had the experience of, the example of some of the prophets, but not necessarily the majority of them. And how did he know? Well, he knew the scriptures so well, and he believed them so thoroughly that he knew what he could do. Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9. Says, O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof rise, thou stillest them. What did he say in the storm? Peace, be still. And look on to Isaiah 35. Verses 4 to 6. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall a lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. He took those verses as truth, and he lived them out. He did these things. He went through the Bible, and he chose life goals. How about Psalm 103? Can you tell the Psalms are some of my favorite verses in the Bible? Psalm 103. And we'll be looking at verses 2 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Didn't Christ do every one of those things? He was guided in his ministry by what he found in the scripture. He had a very close walk with the Lord, but part of his walk was founded on what he had studied in scriptures from the time he was very young. When he was in the desert, there it's really clear that he had the scriptures memorized, isn't it? He quoted from the Bible. And the one that has actually given me the most chuckles is what he quoted in, and I didn't actually write this, oh yes, I did write it down. So let's look at it. Psalm 91. The devil quoted a verse to him. After he had quoted several to the in answer to temptation, "Remember, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." This was literally being carried out, as it can be in our own lives, by what Jesus said. But then the devil said, "Okay, I'll quote some scripture to you." Psalm 91, 11 and 12 says, "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." However, Christ had it all memorized, and in his mind, he could go right on. And the next verse, the devil didn't quote. It says, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon, thou shalt trample under feet." He would claim that promise, wouldn't he, in defeating the devil? It's interesting, you can take the Bible and you can twist it, as the devil did there or tried to do, or you can use it to honor God, which was Christ's choice. But in order to do that, you need to know it. So the devil failed because he didn't meditate on the scriptures to know the truth and to live by it. But Christ was successful because that's exactly what he did. Jesus had the scriptures anchored in his very life. And when Satan quoted the scriptures, Christ's mind went on and knew the promise. He could overcome. So we need to do what Jesus did. We need to learn the scriptures, and it's not too late. Most of us are here with white hairs in our scalps somewhere, more or less, depending, but we have them, and we may think that it's there's somebody back there who doesn't have them, and he's laughing at me. He simply doesn't have. but we all have scriptures memorized just from our youth, but we hear them week by week. We get them, as we study them as in our personal studies. And you know, it's been surprising to me in recent months, as you know, I've focused more on memorizing scriptures with the job I have where I'm driving so many hours every day. And it's been interesting to me how easy much of it is, because it's really already in there. I just need to get it organized and know what parts follow which parts. And I think that's part of God's blessing on us as we memorize. We may think that now I'm too old, I won't be able to remember it. But it's there, and as you work on it, it will come. So we need to pray as those who learned and quoted Psalm 119 did. Let's look at Psalm 119, starting with the last verse, the last part of verse 26. If I can get these two pages separated here. There we go. "Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of your wondrous works." As we understand, we can speak about it. And verse 54, "Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage." Singing scripture songs is another way to learn. These are some of the blessings. But was Christ the only one to whom quoting scripture was important? Who did we talk about this morning? Paul. And in fact, he reminded Timothy of the importance of remembering what he had learned, when he told him that Timothy had known the scriptures from his youth, and to remember them. Mrs. White instructs us to know, and I have that written on another page here. Let me find that, excuse me. In My Life Today, page 285, she says, "The heart that is to that is stored with the precious truths of God's word is fortified against the temptations of Satan, against impure thoughts and unholy actions. But there's another one in my life today. Page 28. She says, let us commit its precious promises to memory so that when we are deprived of our Bibles, we may still be in possession of God's word. You notice she doesn't say if we are deprived. She says when. Nowadays, that seems almost impossible. There's never been a time in history when there have been so many Bibles so readily available in so many languages, in so many translations, in so many formats as now. But if you are imprisoned, do you have control over what you possess? Not at all. And we're told that we don't need to prepare our defense when we're in those situations, that it will be given us. But can he give us what's not in our minds? Can he bring things forward for us that we haven't learned? He can work miracles. He can do anything he wants. But it's as we've been dedicated to him, as we've learned to love and trust him, and in trusting, obey, putting his word in our hearts, that he can bring things forward for us so that we don't sin against him. We need to learn the scriptures. So, it was important to Christ, it was important to Paul, it was important to Timothy. James quoted scriptures in the Jerusalem Council. Peter quoted scriptures during his Pentecost sermon. We need to know these things. They didn't carry scrolls around with them. Can you imagine what a weight that would have been? They didn't carry the written word with them. They carried it in here. And we can do the same. So, learning the scriptures. Remember, I know some of you remember at least, probably 10 years ago, Pastor Stafford came in and had a sermon here that I don't usually remember sermons that long to pick them out specifically, but he had a very different kind of sermon, similar to probably to what I'm doing today, but he talked about scripture memorization, and he gave tools, suggestions for how it can be done. You can see this is kind of dirty. That's because it rides around in the car with me. Although I don't pull it out now because it's pretty much there. But he talked about making flashcards and drawing pictures to remind you of each verse, verse by verse. And these he actually has done, and they're for sale at Andy's Market. At least they were last time I noticed. They have been for years. And it was interesting to me that while I was preparing this sermon, I ran into him again over at the farmer's market on Thursday evening several weeks ago, and he had more that I did not have. And he not only has this suggestion now, but he has others that are like my sister uses. She writes the verses out, but then she specifically writes them out this way, the first letter of each word. So this is Psalm 27. I've actually been working more on Psalm 103 right now. Verse 1 is BTL, bless the Lord. OMS, O my soul. AATIWM, and all that is within me. BHHN, bless his holy name. And I had never used this tool before, this type of reminder, but it actually works pretty well. I was surprised. Excuse me. And there are other techniques that can be done. In the Review and Herald many years ago, I read an article about scripture memorization, and they mentioned there something that has a logic to it, but it only works for certain people. I struggle with it myself. But the explanation was to memorize the last verses of the chapter that you're working on first, and then as you memorize the next one in front of it, you'll go back easily and repeat the last and repeat. Have you ever noticed that sometimes that you can start a verse and you can go on through, but then you toward the end you get messed up? If you start at the back and memorize forward, it's going to be easier as you go. So there's a logic to that. And for some people, it works great. For me, it's not been so helpful, but it still fascinates me. And then, as the Bible mentioned, there are scripture songs. And again, Pastor Stafford, he now has a little CD out and a little book of songs, scripture songs that he has written to help him in memorizing scripture. And he shares them with others. Navigators. Have you ever heard of Navigators or NavPress? No? Oh, you need to find out about them. They don't necessarily teach you to memorize chapters or psalms together, but certain Bible verses that cover certain topics, certain themes in the Bible, and they sell them in little packets. Basically, at cost, they're very inexpensive. And each verse is on a little tiny card about like that, and it will have the topic and the reference on one side, and on the other side is the verse. And they have on their website the guidelines for memorizing, and I looked those up as I was preparing this. They say when you choose a verse to memorize, first read it in context so you know why it was written, why it's there, and you understand better its true meaning. You can get the true meaning, a grasp of that a little better, perhaps by reading it in different versions, by reading the entire chapter or section around it, knowing the story it came from or whatever. You might read in a commentary and see what others have to say, but particularly you need to pray about it. Study the verse and pray and ask God to guide you and show you what you personally need to learn in that verse. And then read it several times aloud, or at least in a whisper, so that you're using more than one sense as you start to learn it. As you go, they point out, say, the topic, then the reference, then the verse, then the reference again. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to remember the reference, the text, where the verse comes from? We all struggle with it. So if you repeat it at the beginning and at the end, you'll remember it better. And then discuss the verse in prayer with God. Ask his help in memorization ability and apply it to your heart, how to do that. Ask him how. Write it out. Review. Have someone listen as you repeat it or memorize it together. Work in pairs to memorize the scripture. Those are all suggestions from NavPress, Navigators. But there have to be reasons for memorizing, not just because sometime in the future I might need it, which is true. And not just to be able to prove a doctrine to somebody, although that can be helpful. But what blessings are there? Well, we've already discussed particularly the one about not sinning, but let's look back in Psalm 119 again and find some other things that are pointed out there. Some Bible scholars believe this longest chapter of the Bible was written specifically for teaching young Jewish boys and stressing to them the importance. And it's an acrostic by sections. And, I won't go into all the details about it, but each section, every verse in it starts with that letter and so on. But it made it easier to memorize for these young men, if that's what it truly was used for. We've read, I believe, 26 and 27, so we've already talked about learning to understand and being able to talk of God's works, but how about verse 54? We did read that, I'm sorry, the songs in the night. So those are some of the blessings, but it gives us better understanding. We had verses this morning from Psalm 34, but let's read. No, you know what? There's not time. I'm going to skip that part. Excuse me. Let's go to Psalm 46. Sometimes I have struggled a bit with the Psalms because it seems that the psalmist jumped themes from one thing to the next. And it's like, why did he put those things together? Really kind of disjointed. But Psalm 46 is one of the psalms that Mrs. White recommends we memorize. And I've seen again here the blessing of memorizing in coming to understand the psalm for myself. I could read somebody else's concepts about it, and I might remember for a few days, but it wouldn't usually really impress me. But when I memorize and I learn for myself these things, then I remember them. So, first three verses of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Can you imagine any scene at all where mountains are shaking and moving into a raging ocean and you would have no fear? And yet we're told here not to have fear, to remember that God is our refuge and strength. And then the next verse flips topics. It says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. What does that have to do with the previous? And I remember as I was learning this psalm thinking, this is weird. And finally, after repeating it a number of times, the next verse brought it together for me. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Well, if the mountains are being moved, what's that?
Not that mountain.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So that's a wonderful promise. If we are with God, we won't be shaken. Then the next verse, just is a continual fascination to me, but it's kind of funny, actually. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Now, in our recent history, the last 100 years or so, have we seen evil men raging and kingdoms being changed around, borders being changed by the power of their huge anger? So that's something the heathen can do. But God, he uttered his voice and the earth melted. There doesn't even have to be volume. If you look the definition of utter, it can be unspoken communication. God just, whatever. God can be gentle, and still he is so powerful that the earth can melt. These heathen believe themselves so powerful, but if we have God with us that is so powerful that he can melt the earth, we really have nothing to fear. Isn't that true? If he's on our side. And then the next verse says, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What a wonderful promise. What wonderful concept. And somehow I had not put it together really the way it belongs until I started memorizing it and saying it over and over, day after day, day after day, as I would drive down the road. And like, oh, that's what that's talking about. Maybe I'm a little thick-skulled. Maybe you had it a long time ago, but I didn't. And then verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Well, why would I want to see desolations that God makes? That's kind of freaky. And then verse 9 describes them. He maketh wars to cease. Okay, well, that would be desolation to the heathens. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He just stops it all cold. And then the next verse. Be still again. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Because when it comes to God, the heathen can do nothing. And then again the promise, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The more I repeat that psalm as I drive down the road on my way to another child care center, the more I appreciate the strength of God and the power and the promise that he will hang on to me when everything around me is shaking. And I don't have to be afraid. You all know from comments I've made over the years that I've been through some pretty traumatic things. And as I mentioned this morning, I'm very security conscious. I lock things up tight. I watch who's behind me. I watch who's coming toward me. I make sure I carry the right things with me, although they're not as extensive as what I used to carry with me when I was in Peru. I can remember the thieves saying, "Go away, leave us alone." I'm not going anywhere. You go away. But I've learned to defend myself. Remember my husband's, he used to say to me, "This Suburban, it's a weapon. You don't stop for anybody. They run a chain across that road, you drive through it. Don't be afraid of anybody." Okay. Those things I can prepare myself to do, but it doesn't really take away the human fear. But when I know that my God is with me, that does wonderful things for me. And those verses, those promises have been very healing for me. And if there were time, I would go on to other psalms and talk about them. But there have been other psalms that suddenly started coalescing, coming together as I memorized topics, verses that seemed just ajar. And then, well, oh, hello. This is what that's about. So God has wonderful things for us in his word that only are understandable when we are studying them more deeply and when we're talking to him about them and when we are learning them, not just reading them, but learning them. So, as you recognize that there will probably be some time in our future when we will not have scriptures. Maybe we'll have to run and not have time to grab our Bibles. Remember what it says in Matthew 24 about not having time or not taking time to go back and get your coat and so on. When it's time to go, you go. We may be in the mountains somewhere and actually not have a Bible with us, even though we may have intended to run with it. But we need those scriptures in our mind to give us strength to face whatever trial and whatever persecution is coming to us, to carry us through, to help us swing across on the rope that Mrs. White talks about in her vision of us getting into heaven, to have faith in Jesus, to just lean totally on him. If we don't have the Bible in our minds, how will we be able to trust God? How will we know that we can? So memorization has become a big thing to me, and I hope it will to you as well. I hope that somewhere in your busy life you can carve out time to learn the Bible, to memorize. I believe it's going to be very important to us, probably in the not-too-distant future. So yes, even in our maturity, we can memorize. You can go back to your childhood and work on the verses that you memorized as a child. Those were precious ones. And they taught you things that you know now, but you may not have in many years quoted those verses to yourself. But as you read through the Bible and you run across verses that you know you have memorized, write them down, work on them again, keep track of them and practice them, because they will be useful to you at some point in the future. Jesus loves those who become like children, so go back to your childhood and review what you've learned. Memorize your Bible, know God's word, so that you can be ready in season and out of season to answer those who ask you.